Today on Roadmap to Success with Pastor Neil.
There are many death things in life that we touch and have touched us. The solution is in the ashes or in the changed form of our red hair for Jesus, which is the Holy Spirit.
In this week's lesson, Pastor Neil delves into the profound Old Testament story of the red heifer, revealing its powerful symbolism that points to Christ and the Holy Spirit. The red heifer, a spotless and unblemished red cow, was offered as a burnt sacrifice, an act always associated with atonement for sin. Pastor Neil emphasizes the significance of the ashes of the red heifer, which were mixed with water to bring purification. This transformation mirrors Christ's sacrifice, His death and resurrection, through which we receive new life and restoration. Just as the ashes provided cleansing, the work of Christ and the presence of the Holy Spirit renew and purify us, even in the midst of brokenness and spiritual death. Furthermore, Pastor Neil reminds us that God had already made provision for purification before His people ever faced the need for it. In the same way, He continues to provide for us today, ensuring that through the Holy Spirit, we have access to redemption, guidance, and strength. Let's listen to Pastor Neil in this week's lesson, The Red Heifer.
I will use as a subject this morning the red cow. The red heifer, or the red cow. A heifer is a cow. The red one? I know some of you say, what? What kind of title is that? What has the cow, the red cow, got to do with resurrection? We will find out from the Word of God. The scripture uses the word heifer because it is symbolic of something. I have heard a lot of people say that Jesus did not come back to life, but I beg to differ. And the Bible says that Jesus indeed come back to life. And I want us to look at that, try and understand that the resurrection is so important. And that's why this time I don't want to just look at it on one Sunday. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you're there, we will look at three verses. Verse 14, verse 17, verse 20. If you have a chance, I want you to read all of them. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. Verse 17, you got it? And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. In other words, it's foolish. It's vanity. And you are still in your sins. Verse 20. Read with me, shall we, everybody? Read. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep, or the first fruit of those who are dead. The Bible says that if Jesus was not resurrected, all this preaching I'm preaching means nothing. And then all the church you are coming to is useless. And the idea that you are born again is meaningless. It means the resurrection, a lot of things are hinged on it. And so it is important we understand it. Amen. Amen. To understand the resurrection today, I want to go into the Old Testament. Why? Because in the Old Testament, God paints pictures. And then in the New Testament, He tells us clearly what He is up to. For example, how many of you remember the story of Abraham? You remember the story of Abraham when God told Abraham, take your son, your only son Isaac, and go on into the mountain that I will show you and then offer him there. You all remember that story? You'll notice that when Abraham took his only son, it is symbolic of Jesus, who is the only Son of God, coming down to earth to die. But how can we say that? It is because the very mountain on which Abraham built the altar to sacrifice Isaac was Mount Moriah. And in today's terminology, it is Golgotha, where Jesus was crucified.
So you notice that the things we read in the New Testament, you can challenge them because God started telling stories with them way back then before they actually what happened. Are you with me? Now, the scripture says when Israel as a nation was in the desert, they did something crazy. And when Moses came down from the mountain, he asked that the Levites pick up swords and slay the people. And on that day, how many people died? 3,000 people died. When Jesus rose from the dead and Peter stood on the day of Pentecost and he preached, how many people were saved? 3,000. The things we find in the Old Testament, they are not just there for the sake of it. Every book of the Old Testament has a purpose, and Jesus is identified in it. Are you with me? I said Jesus is what? For example, in the book of Exodus, Jesus is identified as the deliverer and the redeemer. We see it personified in Moses, who was to lead the people and to bring them out of Egypt. So God tells his stories, but he is up to something with his stories. Are you guys with me today? We find in the book of Leviticus that Jesus is pictured as the high priest. Why? Because when Israel was in the desert and they began the worship in the tabernacle, God had to give them a high priest, one who will bring the sacrifice for the sins of the people before him. And the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that Jesus is our what? High priest. On and on you can see it throughout the scriptures, and especially in the Old Testament, how God painted the stories. That is how we can tell when somebody misinterprets something in the New Testament, we can tell them it's wrong because the picture has already been what? Painted. Amen. And this morning, you will find in the book of Numbers. Everybody go to the book of Numbers, chapter 19. We are going to talk about the sacrifice of the red heifer or the red cow. It is believed that the red cow is very rare. You cannot easily find one. In fact, for centuries, over a very long period of time, thousands of years, there have only been four of them. They are not common to find. And God says here in the book of Numbers, where Israel as a nation is in the wilderness. And in the wilderness, they are on their way to the promised land. How many years did Israel spend in the desert? 40 years. You will notice that the scripture teaches us, if we go back to the book of Exodus, the Bible talks about their walk and their wandering. Everybody say walk and wandering. Today I'm going to take you to Bible school for real. Their walk and their wandering. The life of the Israelites pictures you and I, our walk. 38 years out of the 40, they were wandering. Progress was only 2 years. It tells how rebellious we are, so God allow us to run in circles. And we only make progress over a short period of time. Their life mimics what we are doing today. God has already told his stories. Anybody that told you the Old Testament is irrelevant. The person is lying to you. It is very relevant. Are you in the book of Numbers? Okay. Now, everybody lift your head. Let me describe this first before I read it. Because if I don't describe it, you can easily get confused. Eleazar, who is a priest, and he was the son of Aaron. Remember, Aaron was the high priest, all right? Eleazar, God says, Eleazar, I want you to look for a red heifer. It was not a common cow. It's a young female red, completely red. There's no other color in it but red. How many of you have seen a red cow before? It's very rare to find one. It says, I want you to grab hold of a red heifer and then make sure that it has no spot, it is not weak, its legs are not broken, and that this red heifer is unblemished, it's perfect. kill this red heifer and then burn the entirety of everything. And when you are done, take the ashes of the red heifer, mix it up with water. Then after you are done, this water that is mixed with the ashes of the red heifer that was burnt would serve as the means of purification for anybody who came in contact with a dead body. Remember, they were in the wilderness, so they live in tents. So coming in contact with the dead body is very, what? Common. They are in the desert. So then, meaning that they will see animals that are dead. So God is making a provision for them about something that they had not yet even, what? Encountered. That is how interesting your God and my God is, that he makes provisions for things that he knows one day we will need. Are you with me? We are going to read. And God says, once you are done making that mixture, keep it outside of the camp and make sure that the red heifer is burnt outside of the camp, not in the camp. Outside of the camp. Somebody say that with me. Not in the camp, but outside the camp. That is relevant. Why? Because Jesus, who is the red heifer, died outside of Jerusalem. He didn't die in there. So that everybody else, not just the Jews, can have access to him. Did you copy that? Now, one last thing before we start reading. The entirety of this story is not so much about the death of the red heifer, because the death of the heifer does not purify you from sin. It is the ashes of the heifer. Notice that the ashes represent what I call a change in form of the red heifer. You burn the cow, then it turns into what? Ashes. So when Jesus died, he says, very soon you see me, but very soon you will not what? And then you will what? See me again. What is he saying? When I die, you will not see me. When I resurrected, you will see me, but then I will be in you in the form of the Holy Spirit. So the mixture of the ashes and the water is symbolic of the Holy Spirit, for which purpose the cow had to die. So the believer that talks about salvation and Jesus dying and rejects the Holy Spirit has already missed it. Because what brought the purification was not just the ashes, but the ashes mixed with water. Are you guys with me? Okay. With that understanding, now let's read. Did you get it? I will school you. Numbers chapter 19. The Lord said to Moses and to Aaron, this is a requirement of the law that the Lord has commanded. Tell the Israelites to bring you a red heifer without defect or blemish, and that has never been under a yoke. Give it to Eleazar the priest. It is to be taken outside the camp and slaughtered in his presence. Then Eleazar the priest is to take some of its blood on his fingers and sprinkle it seven times towards the front of the tent of meeting. While he watches, the heifer is to be burned, its hide, flesh, blood, intestines. The priest is to take some cedar wood. Please underline that. Remember the cedar wood. Hyssop and scarlet wool, and throw them onto the burning heifer. After that, the priest must wash his clothes and bathe himself with water. He may then come into the camp, but he will be ceremonially unclean till evening. The man who burns it must also wash his clothes and bathe with water, and he too will be unclean till evening. A man who is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer and put them in a ceremonially clean place outside the camp. They are to be kept by the Israelites community for use in the water of cleansing. It is for purification from sin. Everybody say, it is for the purification of sins. Does it sound like a hard subject to deal with today? I wanted to see how God tells the stories in the Old Testament and they point to something he's about to do. So he's not a liar. He told the story already before the thing happens. Just as the ashes could be gathered, it was clear that Jesus could not stay in the grave. Something else had to come out of it so that you and I, our sins can be what? Forgiven. So it is the continual presence of the Holy Spirit in your life and in my life that keeps us what? Holy. You cannot be holy on your own, because there are some dead things you will touch and some dead things will touch you also. There are a few lessons I want us to just look at from this story. Now, the rareness of the red heifer shows us how rare the opportunity to receive Jesus is. It is not easy to find that kind of cow. It is very rare. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 says, for if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are what? Lost. Those who are blind, because the God of this world has what? Blinded them. It tells you that salvation, even though it's free, it is rare. It is not a common thing. But God still wants every single one of us to come to know him. Amen. Amen and amen. This is why Jesus tells his disciples when they went out and came back, he says, don't rejoice that the demons are bowing to you, but rejoice that your name, he's emphasizing salvation. The greatest miracle, I do believe, that happened, not because you got a car. Car is not the miracle. The miracle is that you have been born again and you have been set free by the King. So number one, we see that the rareness of the red heifer, or the red cow, shows us how rare the opportunity to know Jesus is. Secondly, we are told that the red heifer had to be spotless. It has to be what? Spotless. So the spotlessness of the red heifer shows us how spotless Jesus' sacrifice was. The Bible says, even though he was man, he did not sin. Amen. He was born by a virgin without the involvement of man. So sin is not in him. Thirdly, the burning of the red heifer in its entirety without breaking any bones shows how Jesus died. Now, anytime they crucify a person on the cross, what they tend to do, if they leave you there after a while and you are not dying, they actually break your bones. What it does is that, because your hands are lifted like this and then you are tied, your body is suspended by its weight through your hands. When your legs are broken and your bones are broken, it causes asphyxiation, right? You oxygen is just gradually being taken out, so you die quickly. But when they got to Jesus, you all remember, after they pierced his side, what came out? Blood. And what does it mean? He was already dead. So they did not break his bones. No wonder David prophesied in the Psalms that his bones will not be what? Broken. So these things are not stories. God has already done the thing way back then, and he's now showing it. Amen? The heifer, number four, the heifer was separated from the flock. And Jesus, we are told, is separated from his own brethren. What did the book of John chapter 1 say? He came unto his own, but his own did not what? Receive him. But as many as received him, to them gave he power. What I'm showing you are things you already know, but I want you to see the picture God has already painted. And he's painted it so intricately to make sure that we understand certain basic things. Number five, the heifer was brought to the priest. This point is very important. When Eliezer found the red cow, nobody else could kill it. It was only Eliezer who could examine the cow. How many of you remember that Jesus was taken to Pontius Pilate? You remember that? What did Pontius Pilate say? He says, I find no fault, what? In him. And what did he do? He washes his hands because he is not a high priest. When the high priest elects a sacrifice, it is a sacrifice. Anybody else does it, it's murder. This is why Pontius Pilate has to wash his hands and say, You remember that before they took Jesus to Pontius Pilate, they took him to some of the priests and the Sanhedrin. What did they do? They couldn't do much. But as soon as Caiaphas, who was the then high priest, came in, he asked the people, what do you want? And then they said, just give us Barak and kill this guy. And then the high priest says, now you can take him. Because it is only the high priest that has the authority to choose the lamb for sacrifice. And when the high priest says, now you can take Jesus, Jesus was not going to be murdered. He was going to be a sacrifice. Here in this text, all the way back in Numbers, Eliezer has to examine him the same way he was examined by others. But because Eliezer was the high priest, he could say, now you can kill this cow. Are you guys following me? I wanted to see how all these years Jesus has been portrayed. It's not so people who start arguing, oh, but when did he come? When was he born? No. This is what he said before Abraham was, I am. God has started telling his stories long ago. And I want to show you that in the resurrection, we see a clear picture here in these verses. Amen and amen. John chapter 19, let me read that for you. Verse 15 and 16. But they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered, we have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. The only time they could take Jesus and lead him away was when the chief priest answered. I want you to see that. Amen. Number six, the red heifer was to be burned. Burned offerings are always sin offerings. So the burning of the cow was to symbolize that the death of Jesus will be a sacrifice for sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look at verse 21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become what? The righteousness of God. Amen. Number 7, the priest had to put the cedar wood. If you remember, he says, when they are burning the cow, how many things were they supposed to put in there? Let me see if you remember when I started describing the story. He says, put in what? Cedar wood. Number 2, hyssop. And number 3, a scarlet wool. Now, let's try and understand them. Historically, it is known that when cedar is burned, it releases an aroma. Look there with me in the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. He says, and walk, I'm reading verse 2, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering, an aroma. I wanted you to see how Jesus is pictured in the red heifer. That God made a provision for our sin, that someday we will be dashing some dead things. And he already made the provision for us. But he's saying that the provision is not in the death of the heifer. It is in the ashes, the transformed state of the heifer. You must understand that this Holy Spirit thing we talk is not about tongues.
is bigger than the speaking of tongues.
Number 8. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, one of the things he said was, I test. You all remember that? Read with me, John chapter 19, look at verse 29. After he had said that, I test, he said, a jar of wine vinegar was there. So they soaked a sponge, the hyssop. They soaked what? Put the sponge on the stalk of the hyssop plant and lifted it to Jesus' what? He says, when you burn the red heifer, make sure that there is hyssop. And there is what? There's cedar wood, there's hyssop, and there is what? Scarlet wool. By now, we realize that something is taking place. That everything in the pictures that we are seeing points to Jesus' death, but we'll come to where his resurrection is in place. So, the priest is burning the stuff. He puts cedar to make the aroma go up. Then he takes hyssop to remind us that Jesus will be declaring that I am testy. So we see the hyssop represented. But the scarlet wool we see when the soldiers were at the foot of the cross, casting lot over his garment, which was tainted with blood. It was scarlet, red. Are you seeing the picture? So you can tell that every single little detail in the book of Numbers that God gives to Israel as a nation back then is pointing to something in the future. So your life is not a test case. God has you because he has made a provision already. In fact, when you read this text, the book of Numbers was written somewhere around 1490 BC. So if God can plan that far, he's already planned your life. And no weapon formed against you will prosper. This is why you cannot walk in life thinking that all is over. All cannot be over. Didn't the New Testament say, had they known that Jesus, if he was crucified, people will be saved and things will change, then they will not have done it. The same way that the people who are fighting you, working against you, doing things against you, they don't know. They don't know. They don't know. They have absolutely no clue what God wants to do in your life. May your eyes be open today to see that we serve a God who plans ahead. And when the enemy is working, he thinks he's got you, but he ain't got you because God, he got your back already. Yes. He allows Satan to mess around a little bit and Satan feels, but he ain't going nowhere. Your God's got you. Tell the person sitting next to you, God has got you. We are told that the burning of the red heifer was to take place outside of the camp. Everybody, turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. Let's look at two verses. Hebrews chapter 11. He says, the high priest carries the blood of the animals into the most holy place. Remember, we are reading New Testament now. As a sin offering, but the bodies are burned outside the camp. The red heifer was burned outside there. Then he said all this in verse 12. Please read with me, shall we, everybody? Guys, go. And so, pause. What is he doing? He's making a comparison. He says the same way the high priest carries the blood in a different direction, but the body is burned outside of the camp, and so in the same way. All right, ready? Let's read, go. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own what? Blood. Jesus died inside.
the Jews would have kept him. But God made sure that it took place outside of the city gate, so that he's your Savior and my Savior.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text RADIO to 301-696-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.